Hello, everyone, and welcome to our weekly huddle call. Today is June 9th, Tuesday, and on this call, we're here to answer and discuss any meaningful items that you want to chat about, or could be deal-related, could be marketing-related, could be anything for that matter. The call is scheduled to go for 1 hour, although if we don't have, it may end sooner. If we don't have any questions and or all topics of discussion have been taken care of. Just a couple of quick reminders. As always, support at reivault.com is the best way to get help on your campaigns, get technical assistance with Podio, and just about answer pretty much all questions. Support at reivault.com and deal help at reivault.com is best for sending emails related to deals. If you need advice on a deal, advice in a deal situation, whatever that may be, that's the best channel. Myself and Gary get those emails right away, and then we'll answer, sometimes me, sometimes him, sometimes both of us, depending on the nature of the question. And I think that's it. So, Gary? Any topics or discussions that, oh, by the way, I forgot to, so I lost my screen where I had the,
I have two exciting things to share. And the first one is an update on the deal dashboard to be able to see metrics. I know a bunch of you have been asking, Stallings, so I know you're on the call. You're going to be excited because I'm actually going to pull one for you and for Steve Carlson pretty quickly here, so I want you guys to look at it. The deal dashboard will be metrics of all of the campaigns and the performance of the campaigns. And we ran into a stuck with Podio. It was more of a technical stuck, but we resolved it, and we're piloting right now some dashboards that are really killer. When I say dashboards, it basically, for all the marketing, it is pulling data on things like your response rates. What are the response rates trending over time? The response rate you need calls over time, cost per lead, cost per call, cost per viable lead, cost per hangup, and that you can slice and dice in a variety of different ways. And if you're tracking your deals in the deal module in Podio, and also meaning that you're actually putting in your profit in the deal module, and when you get a property under contract, you're changing the status in Podio of that lead to contract signed or sold when you actually sell the property or profit on it. It'll also track the metrics in terms of your cost per contract, your cost per deal, and your overall ROI. And anyway, we've got this. We're actually in the kind of testing mode right now. We're going to be rolling this thing out. If Jim and Steve on this call, I've got you already teed up. We're pulling the data right now so I can present it to you guys. If there's a couple of you on the phone that want to be in the beta group for this, send an email to dealhelp at reivault. Actually, I take that back. Send it to support at salesteamlive.com. And in the subject, just put beta group for deal dashboards. And we'll add you to the queue. We want to get this tested and get some feedback from maybe 10 or 12 people before we roll this thing out to everybody. But the idea is that we'd be sending out reports that would be updated on a monthly basis. And then over time, maybe we'll get down to weekly. Anyway, been pretty excited about the second update. Chris and I are testing this week a couple of new campaigns, and over the next couple of weeks, we look forward to being able to provide some feedback to everybody on how they are. We've got a couple of specialty lists and some new marketing copy that we are rolling out right now. So pretty excited about it. There are a couple of there's a new list provider that we haven't seen anywhere in the country with some very, very interesting specialty lists around divorce and eviction, things like that, with equity. So we're working and testing that in a couple of markets. And a few of you have already sent an email to be on the early list. If you if you haven't already sent an email and you want to be on the early release, you could put beta, send an email to support at Sales Team Live, and put beta, new specialty campaign. And that just gives a notification that you want to be on there as part of the group. That's really for people that are on this live call. If you're listening to this in a recording, you know, this is really for people that are on this call today. We're looking for just a few more people to test and roll this thing out to get the feedback on. All right? That's all I've got on my end, Chris.
Chico? I don't have anything specific on my end. I wanted to remind everybody to press star 5 to raise your hand. So if you can press star 5, if you have a question, hit press star 5. That'll raise your hand. If you do that by mistake or you change your mind, you can lower your hand by pressing star 5 again. So it toggles back and forth between raising your hand and lowering your hand, and then we'll see it on our side. We'll unmute you. And if you have a question, always better to state your question first and then the backstory. I always do that even when having personal conversations, just because it'll give us a frame of reference with regards to what you're trying to ask. And so as we listen in to the backstory, then we're able to better decipher what's going on and help you and do so more efficiently. So again, star 5 to raise your hand. And I'm going to look right now to see, let's see. Art.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Art. I'm doing good. How are you?
Terrific.
That's always a good
thing. What's going on your side?
I have some, housekeeping procedures on some things that I'm coming across as I'm making offers on properties. The first one is when I am ready to make an offer on a property, I always double check what the VA said as far as comparables, because sometimes they don't pull enough comps for me to really discern what kind of a market value my property has. In a few instances, I have found that there aren't any comparables. So in that particular case, how would you go about crafting an offer?
I mean, it depends on the property. So I'll answer and then I'll have Gary answer. But if it's an ROI, if it's a rental property, then it's merely, for me, I just default to an ROI calculation. You know, in other words, hey, I'm looking to make an offer at where a gross ROI is at, say, 25% initially, understanding that that's kind of, you know, understanding that those numbers maybe need to be lower or higher, or can be lower or higher depending on the area. And then I make an offer based on that, regardless of comps. If the property is a property that would be a rental property. If it's not a, if it's not a rental property and you don't have comps, then to me, I don't like to spend too much time on comps initially up front without first speaking with the seller. So really the conversation is more of a trying to get to the bottom line, trying to see what is the deepest possible discount that we can get, talking with them on the phone. And then once we have that, then at that point, then we might dig into deeper. So in other words, you know, we have somebody who calls in, and you know, as an example, it depends on the area, because you know, you get to a point where you kind of know the area. So even if comps don't show up, if I talk to a seller in a particular zip code in Miami, and I don't have any comps, but they tell me that they want $175,000 for the property, I know the area, so you know, it doesn't matter. I don't need comps to know that that's not a deal. But if I don't pull comps and they say that the lowest that they're willing to go is $35,000, even if I don't have comps, in that example, I know it's cheap enough or low enough that, hey, I can take a chance on this. So to me, I try not to spend too much time in comps, because then that slows you down, especially if you have a lot of leads. So again, if it's ROI, then just do a quick, you know, ROI calculation. If you can't find comps, then I just try and figure out, have a conversation with the seller, see what the cheapest price that I can get on that deal, and then make a determination from there.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The second question I had is I've got a bunch of properties under under contract now, and I have, and I've been spending some time going out and getting photos and seeing the properties in order to put them out to my investor list. Once I have seen a few of these properties, I've made offers on them. They've been accepted. I have signed contracts, and I'm finding that a few of these properties are not anywhere near the – they're not worth what I'm offering to purchase them for.
Mm-hmm.
So do I go back and my thought pattern was, you know, I'm going to go back to my seller and say, look, you know, there's a lot of deferred maintenance in here. There's no way an investor is going to take your there's no way I can take your property at this particular level, but I can do it at this. That's what I was going to do, but I just figured I'd ask what your procedure would be.
Well, I mean, the ideal scenario would be a situation where you talk to a few buyers and you can come up with whatever that number is that is the discount you need. So in other words, and let's say you have the property tied up at 35 and an investor says, well, I wouldn't pay any more than, you know, $20,000 for that property. Then now at least you know that, hey, 20 has to be it. So I mean, they're going to pick it up in the low teens or 15,000. Right, and then I'll go in for a price reduction with a set amount that I know that, hey, this is what I got to get in order to sell it. Now, if you don't have that, then, you know, and the benefit to doing that is that if you do have buyers and you know the strike price that they're willing to go at, then you can go to the seller with more certainty. You can say to them, listen, you know, I know I can get it approved. I know I can get this done, et cetera, et cetera. However, though, so let's say you don't have that. You don't have buyers that you've spoken with and you really need a price reduction. The two things I can say about that is generally you need a bigger price reduction than you need. So in other words, I'll use an example in our case. Let's suppose we have a property that we have on the market there for, you know, $75,000, and we bought it for $65,000, and so we're trying to make $10,000. So on that deal, you know, I know that, you know, if somebody was going to buy it for $70,000 or $69,000, they would have made me an offer. So that means that I know I got to go at least, you know, a significant discount to offer the, you know, say if I'm going to throw it out there with a price reduction to go to get a better price. To offer a better price. So I know that, you know, the discount has to be significant. And so the way I would approach that with the seller, if I did not have a buyer in mind, I would say, listen, I would phrase it in the sense that, look, right now it's not working at this price. I need a better price. Here's what I think I'll need in order to make it happen. So you're still kind of, you're not giving them a price, hey, accept this price and it's a done deal. You don't want to do that unless you have your buyer. But you can go to them and say, look, I think that this is what it's going to do in order to be able to get this thing approved. I don't know. I can't make any guarantees. But if you give me this price, I can go back to my funding sources and try to get it approved. So that kind of leaves the door open that, let's say that on that deal, they agreed to 55 and I said, I think I can get it done. And then I got a buyer and they offer me 50. So now I got to go back to them for 45. I can say, look, I got good news and bad news. The good news is that I presented the property at the new price, and they took more notice. They think, oh, okay, that seems more reasonable. But then after looking at the repairs, looking at everything, they came back. But the good news is they gave me a number that they can do. And so then you present it and say, if you take this number now, then it's a done deal. You see, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's how I would present that.
Okay, good. All right.
Are you having multiple interactions with the seller? You talk to them, and are you building a rapport with them after you get the property under contract?
Yes, I do.
Because, you know, it goes back to rules of sales. You've been around the block long enough. You know, people buy or sell an emotion, and they justify it with facts. So I can always, you know, I talk to people, and, you know, they'll lose on price. And if it's just price, you know, there's usually a bigger issue. It's basically not building a rapport and building trust with the seller. But if you're interacting with the seller, I mean, there are some people in the group that actually renegotiate every deal, 100% of their deals. And sometimes you don't know. So building rapport with the seller, half the battle is getting them to sign the contract. And then psychologically, these people, and we're guilty, all of us are guilty of it too. As soon as they know they're going to have money, they're already spending the money. They're thinking about what they're going to do with all that cash, right?
Right.
So the idea of losing and having it go sideways and having to go start over from scratch, right? These people are thinking, oh, I don't have to deal with the tenant. Oh, I don't have to deal with all the fix-ups. So I don't have to deal with the realtor. And then when you come back and give them disappointing news, you know, they have to go through that whole emotional sort of process again. So I would make sure you're building relationship with the seller. I wouldn't worry about renegotiating. I mean, we had a deal, Chris, you remember this, and I think this was with Calvin, but actually it happened with Calvin, and it happened with Percy, too, on the Oakland deal that we ended up closing. That deal went sideways like three times. But we got this property under contract. I'll do the one in Oakland as an example. They had the same scenario. So we got it under contract for $220, and we thought we got a really good deal on it. And the buyers went out, and every one of the buyers said, we don't want this property. And, you know, and so on that one, Percy came back and said it was just not going to work. So we asked them, well, what price would work? And it was like, you know, there's always a price. So then all of a sudden we went back to the buyer and found out, okay, there was a price if we could get it. I think we were trying to get $245. We got under contract and we were trying to get $245. So, you know, find out from the buyer what price does work and then build in your profit. And if you got good rapport with the seller, chances are 50 to 60% of the time they're going to do the deal with you. I don't know if that helps. I would always maintain a good relationship. Find out what they're going to do with the money, because that will come back to help you when you renegotiate. And so it's not an integrity thing. It's just this classic sales. I mean, I don't know if that helps, but it's not just
no, absolutely.
There's the mechanical piece. Everybody gives you the mechanical piece, but I mean, it's all, this is all conversation. This is all relationship building, you know, and if you're just losing it on price, there's something else there. Every sales book, every sales training course known to mankind is people buy and sell on emotion. They justify it with facts, right? They sell the first to their friends, second to their friends. So it's not always with price. So, So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay. The third question I have is, I have been removing some of the people from my list from the mailing so that I don't get duplicates and doubles, you know, triples on some of these because they keep mailing to the same list. And some of them that I have made offers on, and they have not been accepted. I know to put them in the you know, the follow-up sequence, but since I had already removed them from the sales team live mailings, and now I want to put them back into the sales team live follow-up letters, am I able to do that?
Yes,
100%.
Okay. 100%. So we don't hard delete any records. So let's say you, even if you made a mistake, so let's say you change the direct mail status, remove from SDL mailing. The VAs will go in and they'll inactivate the record in the mailing engine that actually does the physical mailing. And then if you set up a follow-up letter on top of that, they'll come back in and reactivate it, do what they need to do to get it to work. So if you want just extra help in the comment section, you can just add a comment that says, you know, where you actually say, please make sure to, you know, go ahead and put this on the follow-up for clarity. But the VAs are trained to do that.
Okay.
And if they have any questions, they'll ask.
Okay.
Hey,
all right, good.
Art, we're gonna put you on hold. We're gonna open it up to a couple other callers, and then if you want to ask more questions, that would be cool. Does that sound good?
Yeah, no, that was my last question, so I'm good.
Okay. I'm gonna open it up for you. Maybe you did it, Chris.
No.
Chris, I'm letting you control.
Okay. So
6637?
That's Jim.
Hello, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Fantastic. How are y'all?
Everything good.
Good. Boomer, you are the man. That's awesome. That's awesome.
On the deal dashboard stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here doing
I think you'll be excited, too. It was a stupid, simple solution, and it actually is using Excel. So I was trying to do everything in Podio, and then we got an expert involved, and they showed us a couple little tweaks. I think you're going to be absolutely floored when I show you and everybody else the dashboard. It's the one piece of this business that's been missing for all of our campaign metrics and being able to see the numbers.
Maggie, my assistant, do you know how many spreadsheets she has back there? Every week I go to her with an update, and she is going to be so tickled. She might come out there and kiss y'all.
Yeah. So the next release of this, I have the team building your a version for you and a version for Steve Carlson, because you guys asked first.
Sure.
So I'm within probably a couple of days of having that for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As much feedback as possible. Steve, I think you're on this call too. As much feedback as possible. What else you'd want to see? Because I've taken, every possible kind of look and feel that I can think of all the numbers that we want. It shows trending. It shows, and you have the ability of slicing. You could say, I want to just see, 2015, or I only want to just see the last 90 days, or I want to see the entire year by campaign, the trend lines, and the metrics. So it's really close. And then you can just download it right into Excel.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll get with Maggie too, and we'll put our heads together and see if there's anything else that we look for specifically, and I'll certainly share it with you all.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you all so much.
All right, so I lost my cheat sheet. Star 5 raises your hand, and Star 5 will also unraise your hand. So it's like a kind of a bit of a up and down. So Star 5, with regards to any questions you may have. The one thing I would say is, I think I said this in the last call, I may have, or maybe I thought about it, just the ever-changing buyer landscape, is that continuously, one thing that we've learned is that you have to continuously build your buyers list, because the buyers that you have today may not be the buyers that buy tomorrow. As the market shifts, it changes, in South Florida, the type of people that are buying deals today are different than they are going to be in 6 months from now, and the ones today are different than the ones that we're buying 6 months ago. And so, just one of the hard lessons we've learned is just you have to continuously build the list, so as you're moving products, you can make adjustments within the market. So I think that's the main key as I think about the art and trying to sell these deals. That's always something that should be in the forefront. That's what they do, and you cultivate on a weekly, on a daily, weekly, and a monthly basis. So again, Star 5 will raise your hand, and if you don't have any more questions, then we'll end the call. And as always, though, guys, remember that you're able to reach out to us via email at support@reivolt.com or dealhelp@reivolt.com at any time during the week. But we're looking forward to these deal dashboards. They're going to be great, give you guys really some good insights with regards to what's happening in your business. And I think it's going to be great. I'm going to really, really appreciate the look and feel and just the overall functionality and the value that you get from being able to see your data at a snapshot like that. So I don't have any other questions, Gary. Anything else that you'd like to cover on the call today?
No, I think we're set.
Okay.
Actually, you and I we're not going to be around next week, so there will be no call. Chris and I are going to be in Dallas, Texas. So we will be out, and then we'll reconvene the following week, which, let's see, that's in, today would be the next huddle call will be Tuesday the 23rd. So with that, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks. Good. Take care, everybody.
Jeff.